On this episode of Success is the New Black, Olivia Pope loves it, and I know you love it too. That's right, we're talking about wine. We have George Brown of Alexis George Wines here today. Stay tuned. Is Tara Johnson. I'm here today with yet another episode of Success is the New Black. I'm riding solo today. Ashita had an assignment, so she couldn't be with us today, but I'm here with great company. Believe you me, we don't disappoint here. So, as I said in the intro, Olivia Pope loves it. I love it. I know you love it. We're talking about wine, and wine is making a huge surge in the African-American community, and that is being led by our very special guest here today. We have George Brown, who is the principal and CEO of Alexis George Wines. Hi, George. How are you?
Fantastic. Tara, how are you today?
I cannot complain, and I thank you so much for being here to talk about you, your success, wine, one of my favorite topics. I hope my mom isn't watching because I don't think she knows how much I love wine, but there you go. George, I want to start off by saying thank you so much, because the wine industry is something that historically, or I would even say stereotypically, we don't think of a lot of African Americans being in the wine industry. And I know that is changing. But for you, where did your love and passion for wine come from?
Well, Tara, first, thanks for having me. You know, my passion for wine goes years back, working in the restaurant and hotel industry. You know, I started out as a pot washer in this industry, and never thought I would really be where I am in regard to wine. But as I worked through the restaurant, being a busser, being a restaurant manager and fine dining restaurant manager and beverage manager, you know, you take a little sips here and there and you begin to get educated and such. And over the course of time, just developed a passion for the flavors of wine. Where I really fell in love with wine, though, was when I got out to Napa for the very first time and stood in the middle of the vineyards and really just saw what Mother Nature brought to us by the way of wine, how those types of things really had a profound effect on the flavors and the such. And so I came back from there and then started studying for my sommelier exam and became a sommelier. And from there, continued in the business of restaurants and wine.
Now, it's amazing to me to hear your story, to say that you started as a pot washer in Philadelphia, whereas there's someone right now who's probably washing pots or sweeping the floor. What can you say to them to let them know that where you are right now doesn't have to be the only place that you go?
Absolutely not. You know, where you start doesn't necessarily dictate where you finish. You just have to have a drive and find what it is that you want to do. The great part about the food and beverage industry as a general practice is there's opportunity for everyone. If you do work hard, and for some, attempt to be that much better at your craft than others. You know, again, back then I had no sense of what I could achieve in this particular industry. And quite frankly, even from a ownership of a wine brand, that was just a recent thought within the past 5 years or so. So you kind of put all the things that you learn together in each step of the way, and it becomes an accumulative thing. And the next thing you know, you're living your dream and your passion.
I love how you say you didn't even realize until 5 years ago that owning your own kind of winery and wine brand wasn't even really in your thought process. How do you go from having that initial thought of, oh, okay, maybe I can do this, to now where you are right now, producing wine, having several wines? How did you get started in this? How did the business get started?
Well, even before the thought of owning a wine brand and the winery component necessarily came to fruition, that specifically, about a decade ago or so is when I really started to get the entrepreneurial bug and you know, wanted to have more ownership of my future, and quite frankly, creating more of an opportunity and choice for my children as they you know, come of age a decade or so from now, and at minimum give them options in regard to what it is they're going to do from a career perspective. So as I began to network with varying entities, varying entrepreneurs, varying business folks in the banking industry, varying folks that are in various industries, quite frankly, it was none of them that were in the wine industry at that particular time. But it was a lot about learning business from an entrepreneurial perspective and learning the financing component of it that I knew I would need to do in order to do whatever it is that I was going to do. And so after having that opportunity and blessing over the course of a couple few years, then began to get out and look for, you know, opportunities for ownership within the food and beverage and industry. And, you know, by the grace of God, an opportunity presented itself where I had the opportunity to help someone close a deal of their own, a separate winery close a deal of their own. And through that, I got connected with someone else, and we decided to partner wine brand, and it's taken off from there.
You mentioned family and starting this business to give your kids a legacy. Well, you put your kids right in the forefront front of your brand, right? That Alexis and George are your children's names, correct? Do we lose our feed? George, do you hear me?
I hear you now.
There you go. Sorry about that. A few technical difficulties. I was saying that you know, talking about creating this business in order to give a legacy to your family, you put your kids right in the forefront of the brand. Alexis and George are the names of your children, correct?
Absolutely. Alexis is my daughter's middle name, and George is my son's middle name. And it kind of all brings together what Alexis George and the other companies that I'm involved with as part of my company, Marin Company. But it's really what we're all about. As it relates to Alexis George, we're more than just about making wine. What we do is we give anywhere from 20 to 25% of the net proceeds to organizations for scholarships to send students to school, whether that's through National Medical Association or 100 Black Men of America and the chapters that go with them, or ITSMF, which is an African American IIT exec association, et cetera. There's several. That's our mission, to have a purpose in the wine that we produce. There's a lot of great wine out there. And so the thought process behind Alexis George, besides a lot of the fun things that came about as far as naming it, is to always keep the focus on the fact that it is about children, and how do we help children to achieve their goals. Now, I will tell you, I was blessed, going back to the component of being a pot washer, I was very blessed because my mom ensured that I got a very good education. The schools I went to in Philadelphia, you know, were good schools and stressed education. I was fortunate to go on to Howard University from there. I know the difference that a good education can bring to someone. And even beyond that, I know the difference that a great college environment and how that can change an individual that may not have had access to that as they grew up.
Now, I will say, you know, owning a business is fantastic, and being an entrepreneur is wonderful, but it does come down sometimes to the bottom line. And we hear of a lot of companies, once they accumulate a certain amount of wealth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, then they make those kind of pay it forward or, you know, give back type of commitments. You've done it from the beginning. Has profitability in the bottom line not, I'm not going to say it's not a concern of yours, but why was giving back so important at, from the very beginning to you?
Well, that's always been a part of my family in general. Giving back doesn't matter what your economic positioning is, in my opinion. You can give back in varying ways. It is so. Again, we're fortunate that we're able to do it through what it is that we sell. So, if someone buys a bottle of wine, we give. And it's just my belief that if you give, you get. We in the African American community want our community to support us as African American businesses. And as I say to my fellow entrepreneurs out there in the community, you know, if you want the community to support you, why don't we look at supporting the community first? And I think if we do those things, then there's no reason that the community won't support us. We in any business, you have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that the margins in the business are appropriate. And so yes, we are a financially sound business without and you know, that's part of the understanding of again, going back to those business folks I talked about a decade ago, understanding all the things that you can do to make sure that you can maintain good profit, but at the same time are able to give back. So our hope and desire, Tara, quite honestly, is while we give a lot now, to give even, continue to give more and more and more. Because as we give back, it only benefits my children in the long run, benefits your children, benefits other folks in the community's children. And that just grows a stronger and stronger community. And if we can do that, we're all blessed by that.
I absolutely love it and couldn't agree with you more. And I always ask entrepreneurs this question because it's something that burns in the question of all the people out there who are watching who want to start their own business. Capital is such an important part of not only starting a business, but staying in business. Where did your source of initial capital come from? And what was your initial source of capital? How have you kept the company going? And also I have a question about, you know, the African-American community, we're starting to drink wine. Is it difficult to market to our community?
Well, capital, the capital is always tough. you know, you have to prove yourself to a certain degree in order to get the capital. Mm-hmm. When you get the capital, you know, that doesn't necessarily make things easier because those investors, you know, want to see a sound return on their investment to a large degree. We started, you know, from a capitalization on our own, you know, with just producing or owning brands per se, you know, and beginning the process of selling in that particular manner. As people began to understand our business model a lot more and our customer base a lot more and the direction we're going, you know, then we were able to make that connectivity through through you know, achieving certain levels of capital. You know, whether that's, there's capital sources out there, whether it's SBA loans, excuse me, you know, whether there's capital investors out there, and they all make loans or invest in varying manners. You know, there's varying ways to get at it, whether it's equity investors or whether it's debt investors. You begin to learn all these particular things as you really do your homework and research. I will say, Tara, that for those that want to grow a business, you have to get out there and network. And your network has to span wider than just the folks that are in your industry. no matter what your industry is. At the end of the day, you have to get out there and talk to people that may have the opportunity to introduce you to those that have capital, or educate you, quite frankly, on sources of capital and how to manage those particular sources. So, we were fortunate in how we went about our capitalization. First, starting with some of our own funds. I was very frugal and I guess somewhat smart in regard to how I put away money through my corporate career, and I was able to invest some of that money back into myself, and then from there, the folks that we were able to network with and get connected to from a venture capital perspective, and getting some of those initial funds that were necessary. As relates to wine and in the African American community, it's not as difficult as one may think. The key is blending the right types of wine. Everyone thinks that African Americans only drink sweet wine, and that's not the case. You just have to be out there at conferences. You have to be willing to donate product. You have to be willing to be where folks are and explain your brand to people and let people taste your wines. I was just this earlier this week, we did a tasting with Bentley, and a 10-year anniversary for Bentley, but they were giving back to an organization called Year Up. And so we set up something there, and what I did was just allow people to taste the brands, talk them through it. And for those folks that said they only liked white wines, I said, okay, well, why don't you try this Pinot Noir? And they were surprised that they really liked it. And it's okay, if you like the Pinot, well, why don't you try this Cabernet? And they were surprised that they actually liked it. So, as people begin to taste items and realize that they enjoy other varietals, what they decided to do then is place orders right then and there, become members of wine clubs and such, and increase and evolve their palate, should I say, beyond what they initially thought it would be. The other part of it is our connectivity to some of the organizations I mentioned earlier. National Medical, National Bar, ICSMF, 100 Black Men. There's other wine clubs that we do out there, and we go to many of their conferences. And so whether it's at their conferences, whether it's through newsletters that they send out, etc., sponsorships that we may do for those types of events, we continue to get our name out there to the community. And more specifically, the fact that we give back to those organizations for scholarships, bringing it back to what we're all about.
I absolutely love it. And what I love that you said is about, that's what wine tasting is all about. No one goes into wine tasting every single wine. So it's about opening up your palate and being willing to educate, which it seems like that's exactly, not your marketing twist, but that's what it's all about for you, for you. Because, I did tons of research, and all the research did say African Americans love buying sweet wine or sparkling wine. And I know for a fact that that's not 100% true. And you are backing it up with your different types of wine. Tell us, what different types of wine do you have currently? And if you have anything else coming on the horizon, any new ones? I'm taking notes.
Perfect. Yes, we do. We have a few brands. So we do our flagship brand, of course, which is Alexis George. So we do a Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon with our Alexis George brands. And then we also do an Alexis George Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir. And again, those are at the heart of, what Alexis George is about. And that's around our $20, $25 price range. Then we do a Druid Hills brand, which is produced in Lodi, California, which is where we produce our wines in Lodi, California. We do a Pinot Noir there. We do a Druid Hills Chardonnay, and then we do a Druid Hills Symphony. And that is Symphony is a clone of Moscato, and so that's the sweet wine that we produce through Druid Hills. What's exciting for us to come is a brand called Reach. And for those that are familiar with the piece of art, he Ain't Heavy, where the brother's reaching down over the wall to pull the next person up. Gilbert Young is the artist that painted He Ain't Heavy. And so that is actually a spin on that particular piece of art is going to be the label for our Reach brand. And it's our artist series, and that will launch in the fall. And again, it goes to what we're all about, which is reaching back to give back to the community and our Reach brands wine club. So those are the three that will be either online or in retail as we go to retail soon. Stay tuned for a press release that's going to be coming out shortly in regard to our national retail partner, which we're excited about. And then we also do some private labels items for restaurants and some clubs out there that we're proud of as well.
Do you have to, being an African-American male who's kind of the face of the wines, do you have to convince people, or have you had difficulty convincing people that your wines are not just for African-Americans and that wines, your wine can be consumed and enjoyed by everyone? Has that been an obstacle for you?
It has to the degree that, let me put it this way. I think folks maybe are somewhat surprised initially when they understand that the brands that are on the table are owned by my company, by me, yes. So once people taste those wines, then they're not necessarily surprised that we're producing good wines, especially when they understand my credentials.
Right.
But I would say, to answer your question more specifically, when folks taste initially, they see the range of wines that exist for a tasting. It's not, and then when some of the folks that represent me or some of my associates, my staff, introduces me as the owner of the brands, that's somewhat surprising to a lot of folks. And a lot of that's just because there's not a lot of people that are in African-Americans that are in the wine business from that particular end. But it's growing.
By leaps and bounds. I mean, there's wine clubs and different type of wine parties and everything that's popping up all over. It seems like you're definitely getting in the industry when the surge is starting to come. For our entrepreneurs who are watching right now, we always ask this question: what are three things that you think, once this broadcast ends, because we want you to stay around until the broadcast ends, what are three things that someone can go out who's ready to start a business? What can they do right now to move their dream forward?
Well, for I would say, before you even get started or simultaneously, it's important to make sure that you have a good plan and an understanding of what your company is truly about. That's first. And here's what I mean by that. There's a lot of good wine that exists out there. And so what we look to do is, obviously people expect us to produce good wine, but that's not what they connect to. So what do you want people to connect to within your brand? If you're producing something that exists, that's out there in multitude. So understanding that we want to send folks to school, give back to scholarships. You know, we there's a purpose behind what we do. We want people to connect to their particular purpose. That was at the heart of where we started, and it's all years now. That was part of our plan, determination. You have to be determined, and you have to be ready for setbacks. It's not easy, you know, at all. But if you have determination and if you believe in what it is that is your mission and the foundation by which what your plan is, if you had a determination and a desire not to give up, then you're going to see it through. The other thing.
It seems like we're experiencing some technical difficulties and we might have lost our stream with George. It's about 5 until the hour, and so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up thanking George Brown for being here with us. His wine is Alexis George Wines. You can find him online at alexisgeorgewines.com. And I'm Tara Johnson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TJ Wagon Hertel. We're really sorry about the technical difficulties today. We'll try to bring George back, and then that way he can answer all of your questions and even all the rest of our questions, because it was a fantastic interview and learning about diving into an industry that may not be the normal industry for you, but that doesn't mean that you can't find your place. So again, I'm Tara Johnson, and thank you so much for joining us today. And we will see you next week on another episode of Success is the New Black. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.